just heard Brad Tree Living say all kinds of nice things about you. It's fun to be around you. I don't know what he's. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know either.
But it's got to be a fun day for you. And does a whole lot change for you today, or is it just different title on the door?
Honestly, I think just different title on the door would be about it. I mean, other than I kind of look at what I was doing. Maybe it's going to get more focused in on a certain area, but this year I pretty much felt like I did a little bit of everything, which is great. You can never, that's the only way you're going to learn is to kind of get in there and do it all and to be a part of it. And I think when we didn't have Brad, it was just Brian and myself and Mike Burke and Mike Holich and Chris Snow in the office. I mean, we were spread thin. Brian has a very busy schedule. He's got lots of stuff with the Olympics and, so for us to kind of keep moving, everybody had to chip in, and I thought everyone did a great job. I mean, it's a lot of work and there's a lot of games to see and you can't be everywhere, but I thought everybody really pitched in. I mean, even, when Brian got back from the Olympics, he called and said, "Where should I go?" I'm like, I'm thinking, "You can go wherever you want." He goes, "No, where do you want me to go?" I'm like, "Okay, the OHL to scout, if you don't mind."
You're telling him where to go.
Yeah, I thought it was a trap, but he said, "Where should I go?" So I actually went in also when we went together, which was real nice. So I got to spend some quality time with Brian.
So it's been kind of like, did you ever see yourself in a scenario like this? Like take us back to, 2007, you're playing, you're closing in on 1,000 games, that type of stuff. Did you ever see yourself as, hey, in 6-7 years, I'll be an assistant general manager of a team and have a big to do about me at the TELUS boardroom?
No, I not really. I mean, as a player, you think you're going to play forever. First of all, I mean, that's the one thing that, you just love the game. You want to play. I enjoyed it. You'd play for free. You just want to, that's what you want to do. So, I mean, I think as you look forward, I knew I wanted to stay in hockey. I didn't know what I was going to do when I retired. And I think it's a big, big shock when you first retire and you say, but I was fortunate to have three different options. So, when you look at the three, it was maybe do something what you're doing with the media, into coaching at Clarkson and then to stay here and be part of the Calgary Flames. And I mean, I think the one thing that I always look back at, the only way to win a Stanley Cup is to do something with the team. And that's really the goal. I mean, the goal for me, I know I'm never going to win it on the ice. Came very close once, but that doesn't count. So, I'd love to get my hands on that Stanley Cup. And the only way to do it is to build a winner here in Calgary.
That's actually, and I'd never thought of it that way. I didn't know that you had all three of those options when you transitioned in. So you had a coaching option, and it would be a natural fit for the media thing. I don't think anybody's surprised about that. But there were three different options. So that was a tough choice for you at the time?
Yeah, I mean, very nice. I mean, very nice opportunities.
It's good
in
to
all
have
three.
All those things.
Yeah,
retiring.
I mean, that's what I said. It was, when you sit down with your family and you have those things, I mean, probably would have had to move to Toronto if the media thing came together. And we would have moved back to, back to Potsdam if I went to Clarkson. And, I have young family, and all they really know is Calgary is home. So, I mean, they weren't overly excited with any other option than me staying here in Calgary, But I said, you have to kind of look and see what's out there and then make a decision. And it was tough because they were really nice offers. All three offers were, I couldn't ask for a better situation, but I feel like at this point today, I feel like I made the right one.
Craig Conroy's with us. So right when you started, because you started that gig mid-season, and they had you on like red-eye flies to Sweden right away. Like you, there was no kind of incubation period. It was, hey, hit the ground running. And now here you are. It's been a pretty crazy few years for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's three years and a bit. And I've done everything. I mean, and that's the one thing that I can say, whether, right away they got me out scouting, went with Ronnie Sutter, player development, to learn what he did, to learn what the scouts do, go to all the meetings, go to the combine, get a feel for that. This year I got to run Abbotsford. I feel bad because when Jay and John were let go, all of a sudden I was back with the team on the longest road trip, then over to Sweden, and then college free agents, and I feel at points Abbotsford, I watched all the games online when I could, and still kept in touch with Troy and made sure all that was okay. But it was difficult. You know, you talk to some of the guys when they got called up and they said, you haven't been to Abbotsford in a month and a half. I said, I know, you know, and I said, you know what? I got to get in there now that they mention it. So I would take a trip in because those guys want to see you. I mean, I know when I was, you know, in Fredericton, whenever the Montreal guys would come down, that meant a lot. I mean, you're proving, hey, I want to show you, I'm ready to get a chance to the NHL. So I think without me being there as much, you know, hurt a little bit.
The coaching time that you had, you were on the ice that entire season with Bob Hartley. You were doing practices, you were running face-off drills. That was not the management side of things. That was kind of a different side of things. But you were talking in the news conference. You learned a lot from that too.
Well, yeah. As a player, you think you know everything that goes on in the coach's room, the management side of it. I mean, you could be the best general manager as a player. You're like, I would do this and this. Well, it's not that easy to do all those things that now that I've learned. And the same thing with the coaching. I'm like, this is how it works. And to actually go and be with those guys day in and day out every day, it was an eye-opener, you know, to say the least. I said, okay. And kind of the way they're looking at the players and what we're looking for and how we think we're going to win and build in Calgary. So then I could take everything that they're saying and now I can go out and start trying to find those type guys, mm-hmm. which is the perfect Calgary Flame. Like, this is the guy I want to pull that jersey on because he fits what we're trying to do here.
The time with Abbotsford, the time, and I know you didn't get the entire season because of the way things went, but I remember when we talked to you about a year ago when you had found out the news that you were going to be the general manager of the Abbotsford Heat. Was that the experience you were looking for? Like, was it as close to being an NHL GM as you probably could have got at that stage?
You know, it was. I mean, it was a great opportunity. It's something I hadn't done, and to be able to do that, and for the first, you know, until December 15th or in that time frame, you know, I was pretty much with the Abbotsford Heat nonstop. You know, we had so many young guys and so many of our prospects were down there. And, you know, for me, it was great because we won every game. I mean, you're down there, things are going really, really well, and we're winning and winning and winning. And then, you know, when the changes are made, all of a sudden you need to do other things, mm-hmm. you know. So it was fun. I mean, and, you know, it's a little more difficult when you're on the road and you're looking, hey, you know, Yoni Ordio is getting called up. I got to find a goaltender. I'm searching around. You know, one time I grabbed a guy, the trainer in Toronto. He went and backed up. I mean, those are things, you know, you're really, it's not like we've taken so many players from Alaska. Now we need to find other players, whether it was an Aaron Dell from Utah. I mean, we were always, at times, we were looking for players. And, you know, that's, you know, you're making phone calls, asking, trying to figure out. So you're getting a feel of the coaches and in the East Coast League, you know, who should I be, you know, which of your guys, you know, mm-hmm. and you, they don't want to give you their guys either. They're trying to win down there. So, I mean, it was a great learning experience to be able to, you know, a lot of times the hardest part was, hey, okay, we're going to get this guy and now we're going to get him into Abbotsford. And Abbotsford wasn't always the easiest place to get into. So, you know, sometimes they'd have to fly into Seattle and we'd get him a car service and drive him into Abbotsford, you know. But all that stuff, I mean, to learn to work with the coaches, to be, you know, finding players, we need this, we need that. And, you know, it's tough to make a trade. Tough to make a trade down in the American League, I'll tell you that. But, you know, we made one and we got Corey Locke from Mark Condari. And, you know, those are things you're trying to improve your team. At that point, we were in the playoffs. We felt like we needed a little scoring because Granlund, everybody was up. And, you know, overall, it was a great experience.
Craig Conroy, the new assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames, joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. So when you wake up in the morning, like, are you like, I'm in management? Like, is that sunk in yet? Do you consider yourself that at this point? Or are you still kind of going at it the way a player would? Because you're not that far removed from being on the ice.
No, I think now that, you know, honestly, when Jerome left and guys have been leaving and all the young kids are coming, and you just feel like
it's easier to separate at that point.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think at the beginning it was very hard. You know, I'll be honest. Like, they're all your buddies. I mean, I was just playing with them a day ago. Now I'm on the other side, so I try to keep my distance, you know, as much as I could away from them. You know, it just, that was the hardest part for me. I think just to, you know, maybe if I would have taken some time the rest of that season and then started, it might have been, but to jump right in, but it was the best thing. I mean, and they did have me scouting, so I wasn't around the team that often, which was good, you know, but there's always those, you know, now, and that's everybody says, well, you got to make the hard decisions, sending guys down, trading guys. I said, but we know as players what we got into. You know, I knew I could get traded at any time. I know when we contract negotiations aren't going to be fun. They never are, you know. So, I mean, all those things. But I think there's a right way to do it. I don't think you have to belittle people and make them feel bad or, you know, I think this is what we think. And you can talk to them and they understand. You know, if you make a trade, it's not because you don't like them, but you think you're making your team better. That's all.
Do you feel like you – do you still feel new at this or do you feel – a little bit more like, hey, this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm going to do for the next 20 years or however long it's going to be.
I mean, it feels natural. I mean, it really doesn't feel, you know, I mean, people ask me, I think with a special assistant title, people didn't even know what I did. They think maybe I was, you know, out doing.
That was a long title.
Yeah. You know, if I was out doing PR stuff, I mean, I do PR stuff because that's part of it too. But, you know, that's in my, you know, when, okay, I can do something this day because I'm not gone, you know, but I mean, I think, you know, Calgary's been so good to me. If I can go to a charity event, then I'm going to try to go to a charity event. But, you know, I think that's what people thought. I think they thought I was at home and just hanging out and I show up at the games, but there's probably, you know, you're probably traveling. Like even my kids are like, whoa, dad, are you just, how many days are you going to be here? I'm like, couple, you know, so I'm just like stopping by,
yeah,
you know, and that's, and it's tough, but it's fun and rewarding, and they kind of know. I mean, I've always traveled. I didn't know I would travel more in this role than I did as a player. I think you think, oh, I'll travel about the same, and I'm like, whoa, it's way more here, you know, on the management side.
Craig Conroy's with us, the assistant general manager with the Flames. What was this time like after Brad was hired as the GM to today when you're named as the AGM? Like, were there nervous times to just go about your business the same way? Because you didn't really know what was going to happen.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I didn't know Brad other than I saw him at the Marriott in Toronto. And, you know, you might say hello and talk to him for a minute. We have mutual friends, so we talked about him, and that was it. And that was one time. So, I mean, you know, you bring in someone, and he's going to want to bring in his people, you know, and I don't blame him. And that's part of the business we sign up for. Mm-hmm. So I'll be honest. I mean, there's always anxiety and a little bit of nerves, you know, where do I fit in? But at the same time, there's so many things. I mean, we were getting ready for the amateur scouting meetings. We were doing the wrap up. It's in Abbotsford. I was watching all the games. I went to all the playoff games with Abbotsford. And then, you know, Brad was going to come in, but he was busy. He had to go do some stuff in Phoenix. So we didn't see each other for a week. And you're thinking, okay. But then when we finally were able to sit down and go through the team, and we probably had a 5 or 6 hour meeting. So, cause he's like, I know the team, but I don't know the team.
Right.
Like, can you walk me through both teams? I said, oh, okay. You know, and it was great, you know, so that was good. And just to hear his philosophies on what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. I started to feel a little bit better maybe the second week that, you know, I didn't know where it was going to go, but that, you know what? He's going to be good to work with. You know, he's a hard worker. But like you said, I think we like to have fun. You know, you have fun. You got to come to work. You don't want it to be miserable every day. I mean, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
So, you know, we go, we do our jobs, and then we had the pro amateur scouting meetings. Then we had the combine. So we were in Toronto for a week, and then we came home for a few days, and then we were back for a week. And then we've been out here, and we've had the pro scouting meetings and getting ready for free agency. So, I mean, it's been nonstop.
Excited to pick at 4? Like, are you this is the highest pick the organization has ever had. So what's Craig Conroy thinking as we're 3 weeks away?
I want to do it tomorrow.
Are you ready to do it tomorrow?
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. After the, you know, when I felt I didn't know the I didn't know the players personally. You know, you only know what they are on the ice, and I know what I like on the ice and which guys I like. But when I sat down and actually got to talk to him, I walked out of there thinking I'm very comfortable with whichever guy we get, very happy. You know, now it's a matter of which one.
Yeah. It's what the other teams in front of you do.
I have a favorite. I mean, everybody has their favorites. They're not all the same. you know, but you feel comfortable with certain people. So, you know, but whichever one, I'm going to be very, very excited to walk out of there and think, wow, you know, this is a great start for the Calgary Flames. This is a bright future.
So you picked at 6 last year, and now you're 2 spots ahead this year. So is there more debate? Is there more discussion? Like, are we talking about a lot of push and shove right now, or are you starting to maybe hone in on some common ground?
Well, I think last year we had 2 guys that we put 1-2, and then we had like a group of 3 more guys, and we actually got our 4th pick, and Monahan was on our list at 4. I mean, that's who we liked. That's just our opinion. But, you know, I think it's similar to that. This year, it's not 2 guys, maybe like Sagan and Tyler that, you know, well, and Hall.
Yeah.
They were 1-2. And maybe this year you're really looking at 4. You're happy with 4. So I don't think there's debate for sure. Everybody wants to put their guy at the top, but in the end, you know, I think there's 4 guys that are really high.
And now even more debate when Brad joins the fray. Like those meetings that you have at the hotel in Philadelphia, those could become pretty interesting, hey?
I think so for sure. I mean, they always are. I mean, the midwinter meetings are very calm, and the last meetings were more heated. And I think it's even more heated yeah. Come Philly, you know, but it's fun. And it's not in a bad way, but guys are really fighting for their guys. They really believe this is the guy that we should draft, and this is why. So, you know, and I think the one thing that Brad did really well, and I think he knows every player. I mean, there's not a player, you know, he might not know every player. I shouldn't say that, but he knows almost every player. So he was real good about not giving his kind of feelings on every player until after, and he only gave us a little, you know, something, because he doesn't want to sway the group.
I right.
mean, because the new general manager, all the scouts, you know, he's like, he did a great job in the meetings by just letting them do it, and then he would put in, oh, I really think I see this in this guy or that, and he'd give his opinion, but he didn't sway the group at all. What the amateur scouts saw, not to say he doesn't take charge at the draft and make something him and Todd
yeah.
can discuss, and, you know, he's the general manager, he has that right, but for the meetings, he really, he didn't push anybody.
How poised is this group as it stands right now? How poised is this Flames team to really take some big leaps here in the next couple of years?
You know, I it's still going to be a lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. I felt very, very happy with where the team went this year. You know, I was extremely excited. Could it be a little step back and then move forward? Is it just keep moving forward? And that's the one thing I don't want to just be negative and say, well, I think it's going to take a little time, and but I think we're doing it the right way, and we're going to try to build it. We're not just going to try to rush something or lose an asset to get something we really like, you know, like we're really going to build it a little slower, and hopefully we can get it to a point where we're in the playoffs consistently, and then all of a sudden consistently battling for a Stanley Cup. That's the real goal.
But it's not, and I think the main message that we've heard from Brian, which we've heard from Brad, is, okay, what happened last year was great, but you can't just like rest there and say, oh, it'll all just take care of itself next year. There's more work to be done between the end of April and when we get to September.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, that's just one part of it. I mean, there's going to be all these little things that are in motion, and we're trying to build on we're building what we did. We built an identity, what it is to come in and be a Calgary Flame and what it's going to be like to play against. It's going to be a hardworking team. Right now, we probably don't have the skill and size that we like, but we're going to bring in guys to fill those holes. And maybe these guys that are there take the step. Maybe we don't need to bring in mm-hmm. somebody. Maybe they make another step. We need everybody from where they are to keep getting better. And, you know, that takes a big summer on their part. And I believe that, you know, the one thing I like about our team when I go down there, they get along really well, and they seem to have fun, and they care about each other. And that's a huge part for a team. Nobody's jealous about this guy or that guy. It's all about, hey, let's do this together.
So how much time will you spend in Calgary in June? Because I know you're in Philadelphia at the end of the month, but do you get a couple of weeks here? Or are you still all over the place?
I'm trying to think of I'm actually, I got some charity stuff next week that I am going to do, but it's kind of 1 week where you can, there's not a lot going on because we got our pro scouting, we got the amateur meetings. I mean, a lot of it's going to be just sit with Brad and kind of work through how we want to get this thing going moving forward as the schedules come out, getting ready for next year and all that kind of stuff.
Congratulations on the promotion. It's cool. It's cool to see you stick around, and I'm sure we'll hear from you a couple more times over the next couple of weeks. Thanks, Craig.
I appreciate it. Thanks.